Hello and welcome back to Rambam Yomi. We're now in the seventh and last chapter of the Halachos of Deos, the Rambam's Halachos of Deos. Remember, the first section of the Mishnah Torah, we focused on Yesodi HaTorah, the foundational ideas, the foundational concepts, the foundational beliefs that we have, believing in the Ribono Shel Olam, not believing in other gods, the fundamental mitzvos of Avos Hashem, Yiras Hashem, etc., etc. All of those were in Then we moved on to Hilchos Deos, and now we are closing out Hilchos Deos. Deos really teaches us how we are supposed to behave, what type of midos we're supposed to have, who we're supposed to live with, and how we're supposed to live and make decisions in our day-to-day lives. And we're going to basically close out now, if you've been following along with the 11 mitzvos that were listed at the beginning of this parak, in the first five chapters of this prakim, the five chapters of Hilchos Deos, we only focus on one mitzvah, which is emulating the Ribono Shel Olam's ways. And obviously, there are a lot of different understandings of that and kind of understandings of how one is supposed to be living in this world. And then in the last chapter alone, in chapter six, we focused on mitzvahs 2 through 8. So an additional 7 other mitzvahs that we focused on, clinging to those who know the Ribono Shel Olam, the Chachamim, to love fellow Jews, to love converts, not to hate Jews, not to rebuke, I'm sorry, to rebuke, but not to rebuke in the wrong way, not to embarrass, that's the way of not rebuking in the wrong way, and not to oppress those who are less fortunate. So all those came up there, and we have 3 last mitzvahs that we're going to focus on in this last chapter, not to gossip, not to take revenge, and not to bear a grudge. Again, these last categories really, as the Rambam is going to summarize at the very end, are going to be foundational to not only a lifestyle that we wanted to be living, but also foundational to a community lifestyle and a successful way of living amongst other people. Remember, the last chapter was mostly focused on how we're supposed to live with other Jews, not only how we're supposed to make decisions about our own lives and about who we're supposed to surround ourselves with, but really how we're supposed to interact with other Jews, loving Jews, etc., not hating Jews. All of those kind of focus on embarrassing Jews. All of those really are interactions with other Jews. Now it's going to be what are actions we're going to have that are going to either negatively impact us or those around us. Again, gossip, revenge, and bearing a grudge. Let's focus on gossip first. Says the Rambam, someone who trades along with Rechilus, they collect gossip and they give it around, but it's kind of like a trade. It's called Rechilus. It's over on the Lotase. This is a negative commandment. It tells us don't do this. Not only that, even though we don't get lashes, it's a really severe avera, because ultimately it can lead to a lot of deaths in Klal Yisrael. What does he mean? It's going to lead to lots of deaths in Klal Yisrael. So the next two portions of this halach are going to take swim. That's why the next part of that pasuk, actually, and then in the same pasuk, Vayikra Yutas Zayin, it says, don't stand idly by as someone, as a Jew is being killed or whatever it may be. So in that pasuk is typically used for if a Jew is drowning, you should jump in and try to save them, or if a Jew is being chased after by someone else to kill them, so then you should go and try to help and save them. You shouldn't just watch as a Jew's blood is being endangered. As you just watch on the side. But in this case also says the Rambam that Rechilus is literally an act of perhaps participation in that exact experience. And so Rechilus is could cause literally someone to die. We pointed out that that embarrassment is a major isser. And in fact, embarrassing someone, is compared to the Chazal as killing someone. And so that may have something to do with this, that by Rechilus could cause embarrassment, but also it really could cause death. How so? Seilamad, these words from most famously probably for all of us from the Seder. Seilamad, go out and learn. What? Ma'era ledoeg ha'adomi. What happened to the man named Doeg ha'adomi? We're not going to go into this in too much. You could look it up with the story basically of Shaul and Doeg. But essentially, what happens is Shaul is not happy with David, right? David is attempting to become king, and David essentially went for a long time and shows up at the banks of the edges of Nov Yira Kohanim, right? The city of Nov, where all the Kohanim were, and essentially where the Mishkan was, and the Kohanim, the pasuk tells us, would wear the ephod, and they gave him food. Now, he was on the run and he hadn't eaten for a while, so they saved him, basically. They gave him food. Discussion about what that food was. Maybe it was from the Lechem Apanim, not important for right now. Shaul basically was told about this experience by the man named Doeg. Doeg, Ha'adomi, came over to Shaul and told him, these guys, they took advantage here. And Shaul then tells Doeg, go along and kill, take care of them, you know, take care of this city. And he goes in and he kills dozens of Kohanim. Kills, you know, the city of the Kohanim where the Mishkan was. And the Gemara talks about how the pain of that experience was mostly felt. But no one realized kind of how bad it was until everyone showed up on that Erev Pesach. And Nevinsal points this out, where everyone showed up on Erev Pesach that year to come and bring Karbanos, and there's just weren't enough Kohanim to help them with their Karbanos. I mean, everyone tries to bring Karbanos. But that's just, you know, kind of just an illustration of how terrible it was. And literally that exact experience, the gossip, the fact that Doeg came along and just felt the need to come and share this information with Shaul and basically Tattletale, in this case, really brought about lots of death. And so therefore we see that Rechilas is not something that you should take lightly. It's not so crazy to come up with a situation. The Rambam said, you know, say the man. Again, I only gave you a brief explanation of what happened there. What happens in that story literally caused the death of Kohanim, not just some, you know, people, you know, these are Kohanim. Obviously, the death of anyone is terrible. But they went after Ir HaKohanim, the whole city of Kohanim, the priests. Is quite all because of Rechilus. Says the Rambam, it could literally cause destruction in a serious way. Ezer Rachel. So what is this? Who is this type of person? Who's a gossiper? Zeh Shatoin Devarim Beholik Mizeh Lazeh Beomer Kach Amar Ploni Lekach Lekach Shemati Ploni. Right? You go, you hear something basically collected, and you go to one person and say, "Oh, this is what someone else told me," and this person. So you're gossiping. Literally, the way we would define it. Am Vishu Emes. It could be totally true. It destroys the world. You say this and this and that, but oh, you hear that person said? Oh my gosh, I can't believe you heard that. It can destroy the world. So there's another level here, and it's an even more serious, more intense isser, which is called Lashon Hara. That's the Lashon Hara, that's what we've heard of, right? You know, someone might say, oh, the first category of Lashon Hara. No. The second category is Lashon Hara. We're going to go. We're going to explain the differences. But essentially, again, Rechilas is simply just passing information along, saying, I heard from this person, blah, blah, blah. A lot of different information, sharing it along. Lashon Hara is a more serious situation. Even if they're both telling the truth, Lashon Hara is also truth. But he's saying things that are negative about his friend. That is Lashon Hara. And therefore, and we're going to discuss in a minute why it's more serious. Avala Omer Sheker, and let's say it's talking Sheker. So we have three different categories. We have Rechilus, we have Lashon Hara. Both of those the first one could be MS, could not be MS, but it's just really just sharing information. It doesn't have to be negative. The second one is negative and it's Dafka MS. And what about negative that is Dafka Sheker, that you're trying to tell the non-truth, you're telling the falsity? Avala Omer Sheker? Nikra Moti Shemra Al Chaveiro. That is Moti Shemra Al Chaveiro. That's being Moti Shemra. That's, you know, causing basically invention of lies and defamation of character. Okay, so these are three different categories of inappropriate speech. Aval Baal Lashon Hara Zeh Sheyoshe Va'omer Kachlakach Asaploni V'Kachlakach Hayu Avosav V'Kachlakach Shemati Alav V'Amar Dvarim Shel Ganai. And he's saying, this is what I heard about this person, or this is what I heard about his parents, this is what I heard about him. And these are all negative things that he's sharing. And again, they're all true. That's Lashon Hara. Al-Zeh Omer HaKosav Yachreis Hashem Kol Siv Seyat Alakos Lashon Medaberes Gedolos. You know, said David HaMelech in Tehillim, the Moshans basically cut off their lips and their tongues to speak proudly about these things. You know, it's obviously inappropriate. The Radbaz points out that Lashon Hara is worse. Why is Lashon Hara worse than Rechilus? Shouldn't they be the same thing? Says the Radbaz, no, it's just Radbaz. Lashon Hara is worse because there's no Hanah in it. You're not looking to gain Hanah. You're not looking to get anything out of it. But whereas Rechilus, you know, I'm looking to get something in return. I share with you a piece of information. It's a trading. It's a trade. You know, a gossiper is trying to share information in response for something else. They're trying to get Hanah. So in the case of trying to get Hanah, okay, so then it's the Hanah that's causing the person to do the sin. It's bad, But it's not as bad if someone does it and there's not even any hanah in it. So what are you sharing the Lashon Hara for? What do you have to gain? So that's the advanced point that why one is, worse than the other. And in general, many point out that the difference between Rechilus and Lashon Hara is, again, as we pointed out before, Rechilus is not necessarily intended for bad. You're not intended to say bad things. You're just sharing information one to the next. And again, that destroys the world, says the Rambam. Lashon Hara is the intention of saying something dafka negative about the other person. Okay, halacha gimel, continue with prohibited speech. There are three things that a person does in this world where they get punished here and they lose the olam haba. And you remember these three things: idolatry, adultery, and murder. Those are the three that we discussed earlier within the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. The Lashon Hara Kinega Kulam says that Rambam, Lashon Hara is just as bad as all of them. Wow. Wow. Lashon Hara is just as bad as all of them. Lashon Hara, Kilu Kofer Be'ikr. Not only is it just as bad as all of them, it's also as if you're a Kofer Mamish, you're a heretic by speaking Lashon Hara. Whoa. Why? Shneim Rasha Amr Lashonenu Nagibir Sivaseinu Itanu Mi'adon Lanu. Meaning our tongues are so important, our lips, what we have to say is so critical. Who's above us? Who's the Lord Kodesh Baruch Hu above us? In other words, I have to say is more important, and therefore I view that as more important than the Baruch Shalom, more important than the Torah, etc. It's as if you're a kofar be'ikr, that you don't realize that there's a master standing above you. There are certain things you wouldn't say if the king was standing right in front of you, or if someone was important standing right in front of you. Your mouth will be closed. So we have to be careful to recognize Dalit and Meota Omid. You're constantly standing in front of the Baruch Shalom. Va'od Amru Chachavim, Shlosha, Lashon Hara Hodegas HaOmro, Va'mekablo, V'zesha Omer Olov. There are three people, Chazal tell us that three people basically die through Lashon Hara. Who? HaOmro, the person who says it. The defamer, right? The person who says the Lashon Hara. The Amakablo, the person who receives that information, who listens. Vizesha Omra Love, and the person who is speaking about. It's important to point this out. Makablo is important here. And not only is Makablo important, the Yosem Mina Omra. Amakablo, Yosem Omra, they get it worse than everybody else. Why? What's the shot? First of all, it's important to recognize that if someone is telling you Lashon Hara, you recognize the Lashon Hara. It's not polite to just sit there and say, oh, yeah, I'll listen, but, say, I can't listen to this. I'm not interested in listening to this. I don't want to listen to this Lashon Hara. And doing it again, remember, we just talked about how one should rebuke another person right before these halachos. The Rambam was clearly putting this in an intentional way. Be careful how you say to the person, but say, listen, I'm looking after your own good. I'm not interested in hearing this, mostly because I want you to be, not to be saying it ultimately. But again, and not only are the two of them, obviously, horrendous, but the person that they're speaking about, they also, again, there's horegis there, there's punishment that's going to come along from these. Again, that's what Chazal teaches, that it damages all three parties when Lashon Hara is told in that case. Now, the Rambam points out, we just said the person loses their Olam Haba. If they do any of the big three, or in addition to getting punished in this world, they also lose their Olam Haba, and also Lashon Hara would cause someone to lose their Olam Haba. So, we learn that actually, that's coming from Doeg. The Doeg, who we pointed out earlier, who had told on Novia Kohanim, and then ultimately killed them all, he lost his Olam Haba. Dafka, because of all that, as you can look in the beginning of Perek Chelek for that. But many point out that when we're talking about losing Olam Haba in these cases, if you don't do tshuva. In fact, the Rambam himself is going to discuss this, and we're going to get into the Hilchos Halachos of tshuva not too long from now. And it'll be perfect timing as we're going into the month of Elul in just 2 weeks from now. But Doeg is actually our source of this. And how do I know, says the Rambam, that I know that the listener suffers from more than even the speaker. The listener is actually more guilty here. So he says, we learn that dafka from Shaul, who listened to Doeg, right? Initially, we learn from Doeg that you lose Yolam Kaba, and we lose from Shaul, we recognize from Shaul that the Mekablo, the person who received that Lashon Hara, is actually worse off. Because him and his sons get punished worse than Dovid. They lost the Malchus. They lost the, and he gets punished for receiving that Lashon Hara as well. So, okay, so this Dovid comparison that Rambam brings to our attention in the very beginning is not just to teach us, kind of the damages that can incur, but really a number of the different halakos really have a mekar back to the experience of Doeg and Shaul. Okay. Look in Halakha Dalav. Yesh Dvarim Shehein Avak Lashon Hara. Then there's a whole new category here we call the, you know, quote unquote, dust of Lashon Hara. Why we call it dust of Lashon Hara? It's not exactly Lashon Hara, but it's practically the same thing, and it's a problem as well. Ketzad, what are we talking about? Mi yomar liploni sheyekemo shehu atar, o she yomar sheskup liploni, eini rotzelo diema eiro mahu, mechiyotu midavar ma'elu. Right, so for example, who will tell so-and-so to continue acting as the way he does now? He didn't say anything. I'm not saying anything. I'm massaging the topic enough that it's clear what I'm trying to say. Or don't talk about so-and-so. I don't want to tell you what happened to this person. You don't want to tell you what happened to this person. I don't want to tell you. Well, it's already obvious at that point that you're beginning to say things that are not good about that person. You know, it's a bit of a things like this. Meaning, I'm not saying it, but I'm saying it. That's avak lashon hara. Mechol mesamir betoivas chaveru mitnei sonov hareze avak lashon hara shezeh gorim lachem sheyesapim beginuso. And anyone tells, right, let's say I'm telling a good thing about a friend, right? I'm trying to tell a good thing. But you know what? I'm doing it right in front of people that don't like him, his enemies. So, and I know what's going to happen. They're going to then say negative things. I'm actually causing someone to say negative things about this person by saying good things about them. That's a backlash. In your number, Shlomo, right, by giving a loud bracha to this person, to your friend, early in the day, that's going to cause curses taking place later on. Meaning, sometimes if you're saying positive things, it's actually going to lead to negative things. If you're careful, again, in general, you have to be careful about what we're saying in front of people. Should we talk to Vasa Bali Deira also? Good. V'chein v'zaper lashon lashon hara derech skog derech halos rosh kolomer she'enu medav besinah. So, you know, you say lashon hara, you're like, no, I was joking. I don't actually dislike the guy. I'm just joking. It's a joke. It's funny. So in fact, Rav Tzchaim points out in Hilchos Lashon Hara, Kfal Gimel, that this section of the Rambam is not lashon hara. This is actual. This is lashon hara mamash. That if you tell us lashon hara about someone, you say, I was just joking about it. No, that is lashon hara. That is the same thing as lashon hara. It's not a vach lashon hara. It's not the dust of lashon hara. It is lashon hara. Who's lama rami v'chak maso? Kimis mislah leo hayore zikim chitim v'mal v'svam v'ar halam misachekani. Right, you're throwing fire and damage and death around. Right, and you're throwing arrows. They're like, no, I'm just joking around. What do you mean? You're shooting arrows in the middle of a public sphere, and you say, no, it was just a joke. What do you mean it was just a joke? That's dangerous. That's a problem. Same thing here. You're throwing out lashon hara. That's like arrows shooting out of one's mouth, and then you say, it was just a joke afterwards. It doesn't matter. The danger was still real. Kind of masaber lashon hara derech ma'os vehushi esaper letumo ki ilu eino yodeya shadaber zeh shadiber lashon hara ku ela. So there's another category of Vak Lashon Hara here where, like, listen, I didn't really understand that when I was telling that story, it was so bad. I didn't think it was so bad. Right? So you're pretending this sense of innocence or this, like, sly form of telling a story. You're like, I didn't realize it was so bad after all. Or I didn't realize he was part of that story. Right? So there are, you could even imagine people saying things like this. It comes to wonder, like, you know, did you really not know? You really didn't know that was such a bad thing? You didn't know the person was involved in it, really? So we have to all be careful with ourselves to make sure that we're saying things and not hiding behind either humor or some sort of sly, pretending innocence. We have to be careful about all of that. Good. So what do we say is lashon hara? So first of all, there's no difference whether you say it in front of the person or behind his back, without him there. It's still lashon hara. And what's lashon hara? You know, basically when you pass the information from one person to the next, and it's ultimately going to cause someone harm, either directly to them or to their property, or even just to annoy them or frightening them, all of that would basically cause lashon hara. Chavetz Chaim points out in Hilchos Rechilos that just because it's a grumma, which is indirect damage, that's still usser. When you look in Hilchos Nezikin, the halachos of damages, indirect damage, it's still usser to do that. So don't say, it was indirect. No, that's usser. You're damaging a person. That's a problem. So it's important to recognize that if something was said in front of three people, you were one of three people that heard this information. You right. So this information now you could just assume it's public. So if you say it, one of those three people say it at that point to someone else, that's not lashon hara. As long as your intention is not like spread it around and further it around, but you said of accident, for example, the one other person, you know, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said that. So that wouldn't be lashon hara at that point because it was already said in front of three people. But as long as you're not walking around like, ah, I gotta tell you the story, tell everybody, share it, post it, you know, get this information out there, that would be lashon hara. But as long as again, as long as it was said in front of three other people, then the assumption is that at that point it becomes public knowledge. Again, remember, the person who's saying it in front of three people is still a problem, and the person who's listening is still a problem, but after that, wouldn't be continued lashon hara, essentially. The Chafetz Chaim says, we actually learned this from Yehuda ben Gerim, who, when asked about the Romans, this is the famous story of Yehuda ben Gerim, and Rishim Bar Yochai, Rabbi Yossi, who basically were asked, like, how the Romans were, basically, and Rabbi Yehuda opens up and says, oh, how amazing the Romans are, and that they made the marketplaces, they made the bridges, and the bathhouses, and Rabbi Yossi was sad, and Rishim Bar Yochai said, nah, everything they were doing it for their own purposes. They built the marketplaces to put the prostitutes in, and the bathhouses to pamper themselves, the bridges to collect taxes from those who pass over them. So Yehuda Megara went ran around and basically told other people in his home what had happened, and ultimately those comments ultimately spread until they got to the monarchy, and the Romans heard about them, and that's when Rishon Bar Yochai has to go into his cave with his son because the Romans were coming after him. So you know, that's important to keep in mind. Says the Chafetz Chaim, that's where we learn the idea of in front of three people, you could potentially tell someone else, but perhaps we're being cautioned as well, that look in that situation where, you know, you told a couple people, even though it was in front of three people, and it could ultimately get out there further. So, and it's also important to keep in mind, by the way, that that's, you know, incumbent upon us as well. When we're saying, you know, we're talking about someone else, you know, I don't know if we have to be very careful about lashon hara, but Beit, it's reminding us that if you say it in front of people, there's a good chance it's going to go further and further. You can't pull that back. At that point, it's gone. It's in the wind. You know, and so once people have seen it, you know, the world will know about it. And that's an additional reason to be extra careful. Again, this idea of like shooting these arrows up into the sky, you know, no idea where they're going to land. And who's going to carry it and then shoot it to the next, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That mashal is an important one to keep in mind. Halacha vav, kol eilu heim ba'alei lashon hara, she'asel adur b'shkunasam, v'choshikim leishim machem l'shmo d'vrayem. We just pointed out before, right, in the last parak, in the very beginning, that we have peer pressure issues, right? We have everyone, humanity, that's part of humanity. You don't want to live around people that are mishalim. You want to live around people that are tzaddikim. They're going to rub off on you in the good way, not as opposed to the bad way. As we pointed out in that mashal of the perfume store, you walk out of the perfume store, you smell good. You walk out of a garbage dump, you smell like garbage. So we don't want to be around people that live and talk in lashon hara like this. So says the Rambam, you got to move out of that town, get away from there, people, right? And below neftam gizar din vaseinu midbar ela lashon hara b'levad. It's important to point out as well that the whole gezeira. Of Paisol in the Midbar, all dying out, basically that door dying out in the Midbar, as opposed to going into Eretz Yisrael, all came because of basically accepting Lashon Hara, listening to Lashon Hara, and giving over Lashon Hara. About what? About the land, about Eretz Yisrael, Meraglim. That story, again, we just left Tisha B'Av, we just had Tu B'Av. Tisha B'Av again was the day when every single year, since the Meraglim in the Midbar for 38 years, Chayso would lay down in graves that they dug for themselves and go to sleep that night because, again, everybody was going to die in those years. So they decided, you know, at least we should lay down in the grave. We don't have to burden someone else to have to bury us at that point. Terrible, terrible. This is all due to, says the Rambam, the entire Gzeira. That Gzeira, you know, what took place there was all because of this Lashon Hara that took place. And the Rambam, and the Rambam point out that the Ribono Shel Olam says to us, you cry on a night like that, for no reason, I'm going to give you a reason to cry for real. And that's what Tisha B'Av has become all these years later. We're still in the month of Av. And it's important to keep in mind that that's how significant Lashon Hara is, not only about other people, but also about Eretz Yisrael as well. Okay, halacha zayin and halacha ches. So this is retribution and bearing a groat. Ano ke mechavera over below sase shenemar lo tzikom. This is a terrible thing to take revenge. It's an isser. But even though you don't get malchus for it, again, it is a terrible thing. Again, a bunch of these are all things you don't get malchus for. So it's important, and this is really a nice kind of a synopsis too. We're our actions meet our midos. All the midos that we talk, midos tovos, and walking in the Ribbono Shel Olam's ways, and making sure we're in the middle of the road and trying to focus on good things and doing the right thing and walking on the Derech Hashem. So one of them is yos magal midos. You have to be magal midos, because I'll point out to us that the Ribbono Shel Olam says if you've been magal midos, that if you allow someone else, if someone else harmed you and you let it go, so then I'm going to look the other way when we're looking at Shuvah, right? Ultimately, what does that mean? That's exactly what we're going into. We're going into the month of Elul very shortly. I'm into Elul now. You have to look at our fellow Jews, and if someone did something wrong to us, until this point we've been upset at them, we haven't talked to them, whatever it is, now's the time. Don't wait till Erev Rosh Hashanah. Now's the time to say, you know what? We have to repair the relationship. We had a sin that was a problem that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash not too long ago. We're still in Ad, just talking about the Meraglim, just talking about Tisha B'Av. But again, we have this opportunity to really repair our relationships, and ultimately that's the way of walking in the ways of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rodei Shalom, right? Oev Shalom, Rodei Shalom, we point out. Again, these are all the midos of Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is all Hilchos Deos. This is a beautiful way of wrapping it all together, that instead of having nekama, instead of having revenge against someone, no! Mavi al midosav, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, if you are mavi al midosav for someone else, you're gonna put, I will be my midosav. I'm going to then respond and follow your lead. We have to be halakha medrachim. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, if you're halakha medrachim in this way, I'm going to do it extra for you. Because you show that that's the type of person you are. I'm going to be that way for you. So we're going to say what it actually is in the comments. But it says to Rambam, we should just pass on. We recognize that actually it doesn't really matter. None of the objects in this world are worth it to try to take revenge to someone else because something didn't go our way. What do you mean? What's nekama? I hate talking nekima. Amr lo chaveir shlechak kardu ma'ach, right? Kardum cha. V'amr lo eini meshalcha. So you say, can I borrow your hatchet? And the guy says, I'm not giving it to you. So you went over to your friend Shmolki, and Shmolki said, I can't give it to you, sorry. So the next day he comes over to you. He comes and asks you for one. Probably, feeling bad he couldn't give you one yesterday, but he said, I would love you if I could borrow from you. Right? That's revenge. Say, I'm not giving it to you. Why not? Because you didn't give it to me yesterday. Same way you didn't give it to me yesterday, I'm not giving it to you today. Okay. If I really can't give them, the hatchet, I asked to borrow the hatchet yesterday because I don't own a hatchet. And then they come over to me the next day and they say, can I borrow a hatchet? And I say, I can't. I actually don't own one. That's why I asked you one from yesterday. That's different than saying, I have a hatchet. I needed two yesterday. You didn't give me one when I needed yours. I'm not giving you mine. That would be revenge. You're not repaying him. It's no payback, nothing. You know what you're doing? You're giving it to him, believe Shalom, with a full heart. When they gave it to you, you give it back to them with a full heart. Again, that's the idea of removing that hatred and difficulty in one's heart and being able to kind of step up above, going up above all of these difficult feelings internally. And different things like this. Says Davar Melech in Tehillim, have I repaid those who've done evil to me? No. Instead, I rescued them, those who hated me, without any reason. That is how we rise up above and we live with the proper deos. So what is netira? Okay, so he netira. So this is also holding a grudge, would also be an iser in the Torah. So what are we talking about? So Reuven shamar l'Shimon haskir li ba'yisa. So says Reuven to Shimon, do me a favor. lend me your house, lend me your ox that I could use it. And he says, Shimon says, no. L'yamin ba Shimon the Reuven. So later on, basically the same case, Shimon comes over to Reuven and says, L'shal mi mendo, oh, l'shkar mi mendo. And he wants to borrow from him. Right? And he says, rent it. Bamar lo Reuven, heich lecha, hireini v'shilcha v'heini kemoscha, lo ha-shalem lecha kemasecha. Oh, you know what's the difference here? He's not just giving him the ox to be able to use, saying, oh, I'm not going to be like you. I'm going to give you the ox, unlike you, who didn't give me the ox the last time. Meaning, to make even that comment is bearing a grudge. What are you going to bear a grudge for? Lend it to them with the full heart. That's essentially the Rambam's Eglamim, right? No. Ha'osek ha'zeh over below low sitar. If you do like that, that's low sitar. That's bearing grudge. Ela yimcha ha'davar meliba v'lo yitrenu. Just erase it from your heart. Don't harp on that. Don't keep that in your heart. Try to get rid of that. Again, obviously, this is difficult. It's hard work. But that's the work that we need to be doing. Shekol's mantra, who note there, es ha'davar l'zoko shem ha'yav olinko. Not only will it be a problem of bearing a grudge if I keep it in my heart, but I may actually go one step further and actually take revenge and say, I'm not going to give it to you because of what you did yesterday. So these cases go hand in hand, that if I can avoid bearing a grudge, then I won't ultimately come to taking revenge either. And that's why the Torah says so carefully not to bear a grudge, that this oven will entirely leave your heart and you won't remember at all. Not only are these good behaviors for us, and remember, not only are the good behaviors of the Derech Hashem that we were trying to focus on in all of Hilchos Deos, to try to walk in God's ways and to live the correct lifestyle, not only with the right beliefs of Yisod HaTorah and really living our lives in the most foundational way, a Kiddush Hashem and not making a Chilul Hashem, etc., etc., but there's also a certain health and a certain type of deos that we have to live our lives by to make sure that we're living our lives at the utmost to be able to serve Him and to walk in His ways. And we have to treat other people around us in the appropriate way, whether it be Jews, whether it be converts, whether it be orphans and widows, we pointed out in the last halachos. And we have to be super careful about what we're talking about, and who we're talking about, and when we're talking about them. Lashon hara, rechilos, moti shema, all these things would be terrible. And in the very end here, don't bear a grudge and don't take revenge. Because both of those, again, test our ability to really be makal midosav. And ultimately, if we can, you know, work on our own internal selves and recognize that our interactions, ben adam lechaveiro, are significant experiences, not only between me and them, and not only for myself, that I should live a better life, but it's also ben adam lechaveiro is part and parcel of my religious experience. Again, the Rambam spent so much time in these prakim right now, in the very beginning of Mishnah Torah, where he's talking about Yesodei Torah and the Deos of general, even before Lima Torah, which is the next, we're about to go into the Hilchalachos of Talmud Torah, the Rambam focused on how significant it is, how important it is to focus on ben adam lechaveiro. Hopefully we will take the lessons of Av, the lessons of Tisha B'Av, the lessons of the Menachem to make sure we avoid Lashon Hara, but also the lessons of this month, and as we go into the next month, to recognize that our experience has been under the Chaveiro, to avoid Sinas Chinam, and to focus on Avas Chinam, and to be able to Ma'avir Midosa, to move past the difficulties of day-to-day living, and be able to literally move past them all, and allow our fellow Jews to live together with us in health and prosperity. And the Rambam points out here, this type of activity will lead towards better environments for trade and commerce and living amongst other people. Why? Ultimately, because we're going to be living a much more not only healthy life, but a spiritually healthy life as well. And hopefully during these months, again, of Av, learning this lesson and going into the month of Elul, when we were trying to repair our relationship with the Rebbeinu Shlomo as well, let us immediately, right now, try to repair our relationships with our friends, other people, to make sure that we are, again, Ma'avir Midosa, the Rebbeinu Shlomo should look at us and say, oh, you didn't only walk in my ways, but you were Ma'avir Midosa, and I will be Ma'avir Midosa. I will forgive all of your sins as you come to me in the months of Elul and Tishrei. Hopefully, this progression now of Av into Elul and Tishrei, and learning the halachos of not only Yisodei Torah, but Deos, and then ultimately now Talmud Torah, and ultimately the mitzvahs of Tshuva, will be able to appropriately approach these months and appropriately approach the upcoming new year. Have a wonderful night. Have a wonderful Shabbos.